From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Around me here, you can see pictures of the damaged ISB squad cars involved in these crashes. We've looked at every variable, time, date, location, weather, and there's no common denominator, just troopers doing their job, and impaired or distracted drivers who simply don't care about the trooper's safety, the safety of others, or their own safety.
Does the state of Illinois really want to become a place where people are forced to do things in their workplace that are against their most deeply held beliefs?
Guns protect people. A gun is an inanimate object. It's just a tool. And you can't stop anybody from using a tool against it. Evil's in the heart. So I need something to defend my family and myself against evil.
The additional dollars that we can earn from this legislation is money that's going to stay right in Illinois. Horsemen live here, and we will buy more Illinois-bred horses, which will stimulate the breeding industry.
What this constitutional amendment would simply do is require that we have a supermajority, a two-thirds majority, in order to enact any new tax hikes.
It is absolutely critical that we have a real conversation that's based on real numbers and real people's lives, because then we can talk about what the budget really is, which is a moral document.
That's the state senator, Toy Hutchinson, near the end of a busy week at the State House. Gun owners, top officials from the Catholic Church, and many others were busy making their cases before lawmakers and the public. And meanwhile, a state trooper was killed this week when a truck struck her on the side of the road. It is the second death and 15th such crash this year. We'll talk about that and more coming up here on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford. With me in the studios of NPR Illinois on the campus of the University of Illinois Springfield is Charlie Wheeler. He's director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at UIS and longtime State House reporter and observer. And IPR reporter Daisy Contreras with us as well. And joining us from the State House is IPR State House editor Brian Mackey. Well, Brian and Daisy, let me start with you. State troopers are being struck on the side of the roads. The cars have been hit. We've had now two deaths that have occurred. This is becoming almost epidemic proportions. What's being said about this right now?
It was a particularly sad week on this point. The state police began by having a series of press conferences, one in Chicago, one here in Springfield on Tuesday, and then in Wednesday they went down to the Metro East area on the Illinois side of St. Louis, saying, please stop hitting our cars, basically. And they had these pictures of the accidents that have happened. It really is an alarming increase this year. Just by way of comparison, there have been 15 of these crashes, as you said, Sean. Last year, there were 8. The year before that, there were 12. The year before that, there were 5. And so that 15 number is just in the first 3 months of this year. If you extrapolate it out, if it continues, I mean, you'd be up to 60 by the end of the year. Now, winter conditions may be playing a role here, but the state police also say that in a lot of these accidents, it's some sort of impairment, either substance abuse or distracted driving that's causing these problems.
And Brian, we've had this happen before. I mean, we've had these incidents before, and certainly distracted driving's been around for years, or impaired driving. Is this just coincidental that we're seeing this number right now? We can't really put our finger, can we, on anything that's happening that's causing this number to jump?
No, I don't think so. Although the state police say that they are seeing similar increases in other parts of the country. And the director said that some state troopers had just gone to a funeral in Colorado as a sort of part of a, often when a state trooper dies, other state troopers from around the country will come to the funeral to represent their states. One thing that some people are looking at is the increase in, you know, as video consumption shifts from something you do sitting on a couch watching the TV to something you do on your phone. There has been reportedly an increase in people watching videos, perhaps behind the wheel while they're driving. There's some legislation that passed out of the Illinois Senate this past week that expands the distracted driving law, or really clarifies it to say that video, you know, looking at video is something you should not be doing behind the wheel, because there was some ambiguity in whether the existing laws about distracted driving specifically covered, you know, watching YouTube or something like that on your phone. But we still don't know about this latest accident, what the cause was. And it could just be, I mean, it's a relatively small sample size. It was a cold and icy winter. I've seen suggestions that, you know, perhaps just the amount of snow and ice on the road has been a contributory factor here. But, it certainly seems like something is happening. We just don't know what yet.
Daisy, I mentioned that there was an accident this week that took the life of a trooper. Fill us in on what took place there.
Yeah, so she was Brooke Jones Story was inspecting a commercial vehicle near Freeport Thursday when she was struck and hit by a semi. Hit her squad car and also the truck that she was inspecting. And Jones Story was a 12-year veteran of the state police.
Charlie, there is a law in place. It's been in place for at least a while now that it tells drivers when they see a stop like that taking place, they are to get out of the way, move to a lane that's farther away from where this is taking place. Should there be some changes? Do we think that something like that could be on the horizon?
I guess I look at it and I don't know how you can legislate against stupidity. And I think anybody who would be driving along watching a video, and people who listen to the show a long time know that I'm a dinosaur. I go way back, back to the days of hot type. But anybody who would be watching a video driving is, you have to question, where is their judgment? Where is their intelligence? And particularly if you're driving, as I understand it, at that point, US 20, where the accident occurred, I believe it's two lanes divided. It's not an interstate, but it's set up for high-speed traffic. I can't imagine that the trucker was paying attention and decided, I'm going to hit that squad car. The person, no doubt, was distracted by something. And I think you can legislate, as I said before, but you can't legislate against human behavior. You have to try and educate people. And I think that's what the state police have been trying to do. And as Brian pointed out, they're on this campaign, and right at the cusp of it, they lose another trooper to a driver who I have to believe was distracted, because it was in the middle of the day. It was not raining. It was not snowing. The roads were not icy. It was like perfect driving conditions. And yet this trooper gets and their car get plowed into.
Well, we'll watch and see if lawmakers decide to take some action or if there's something that could be coming in the last couple of months of the session in response to what we've seen there. Let me move on to a big rally that took place in Springfield this week. It's one that happens every year, but always brings quite a few folks in. This is basically the gun owners of the state of Illinois. It's called iGold, and brought in a lot of people this time as well. Daisy, there were a lot of folks there, and again, quite concerned, I guess, about some legislation that could be coming down the line. They're always watching for that, things that could impede on what they say is gun owners' rights.
Yeah, several hundred pro-gun advocates were in town this week to protest what they called bills that go too far. Many are especially fired up by Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision to sign the Gun Dealer Licensing Act, and he did as one of his very first bills while in office. And advocates are saying that this kind of starts this attack against gun owners by the current administration. And if we recall the Gun Dealer Licensing Act, former Governor Bruce Rauner said that he was going to veto it. So legislators held on to it until J.B. Pritzker could come in to sign it. And gun shop owners, big and small, would have to pay a licensing fee to the state. And many of the smaller shops now are saying that that could put a lot of financial pressure on them, and many of them might be forced to close shop. But there are several measures that have been proposed at the state house in the past, and some are still looking to file language on those. Some of them would ban semi-automatic guns, bomb stocks, a measure to prohibit 3D printed guns, and things that we have heard nationwide after mass shootings. One particular proposal in the state house now is fixing problems with the state's FOID cards after a shooting in Aurora earlier this year showed that there were some flaws in the system when it comes to following up who gets to keep their FOID card once it's been invalid or considered not valid anymore.
And that was the situation there with the shooter the alleged shooter, at least, was the person who supposedly had lost his or should have had lost his FOID card, was still able to buy a gun?
Right. I guess in his situation, he still held on to his FOID card, and there was really no system that, you know, raised the red flag that could tell people, hey, you know, this person should not have a firearm.
Yeah, that's a big weakness at, from what I've read and seen. The law sets out certain individuals who are not allowed to have guns, and therefore they can't get the gun owner's identification card. And under the law, if you are ineligible for having the FOID card and you already possess a gun, you're supposed to turn it in to your local sheriff, your local police department. Well, the number of people who turn it in is pretty small from what I've seen. And the individual who was responsible for the Aurora killing never turned in the gun once his circumstances changed. I believe it was because of a domestic abuse conviction that rendered him ineligible to own a firearm. But because, I guess, more than anything else, lack of personnel, or because maybe it's low on their priority list, sheriff's offices, police departments don't aggressively go out and say, hey, Wheeler was convicted of whatever, and he's no longer entitled. We're going to go and get whatever guns he might have.
And this raises some issues with databases at the federal level, state level, local level, that the issue is they're not talking to each other, per se, and officers are not able to see what the statewide database is really, you know, saying, if a person there, you know, they should be following up on. And I think that legislation that has been filed would try to look into that and see what solutions they can follow.
Another protest that took place this week, Catholic bishops coming to the Capitol. Brian, what was their complaint?
Yeah, there is some abortion legislation being proposed this year, although it's been really slowed down and there are some questions about whether it's really ever going to come out. But that would sort of move Illinois into an even more pro-abortion rights position on some of these topics. And so the Catholic bishops wanted to put up a unified front. You had Cardinal Supich from the Archdiocese of Chicago, as well as a number of the other regional diocesan bishops from Springfield and some of the other major downstate cities, came to the Capitol, had a press conference, didn't want to talk about other topics, anything else that might be happening in the Catholic Church, as we've seen recent further information come out about the sex abuse scandal, but they really wanted to focus on these pieces of abortion legislation.
So at this point, there is legislation out there, but I had heard at one point that some of it had been assigned to subcommittee, and that, of course, is always a signal that maybe it's not going to go anywhere, at least right now. Is that what we're hearing, or are we getting some better feel for it?
No, yeah. I mean, that seems to be, and, you know, a lot of times here in Springfield, the subcommittee is where you send legislation to kind of languish or die. And that seems to be what's happening here. And I guess I should say some of this legislation does. One of the ones that they really focused on is the Parental Notice of Abortion Act, which has a long history in Illinois. It's something that was passed, I believe, in the 90s. And the Illinois Supreme Court for years and years declined to it had to issue some rules in order to make that law really go into effect, and it just declined for a very long time. And then it did eventually reverse course, but it's been the subject of lawsuits. And so that's one of the things that they're focusing on not wanting to see repealed. But you have supermajority Democratic control in both the Illinois House and Senate. On the one hand, you would think, well, that should probably make it easy. If Democrats want to, you know, move in a pro-abortion rights direction, they can. But one of the consequences of the Democrats having so many people is that they have a number of Democrats who are more conservative on some issues. And abortion seems to be one of them. And there are some legislators who are a little troubled by the sort of push on this legislation. And so by having that, we've said this before on the show, but by having a big tent Democratic Party in Illinois and having more diversity of views in the party, it seems to be serving as a brake on this legislation this spring.
Well, certainly we're at that time of the year where big pieces of legislation, things that have been talked about a lot, start to finally take some shape. We're starting to see that with things like marijuana legislation and others, and maybe even a capital program. A lot more people are talking openly about it. One of the things that got attention this week, a hearing was held on sports gambling in the state of Illinois, legalizing that. And Daisy, you attended that. Tell us what took place.
Yes, that's definitely moving along. But again, it's still people kind of weighing in on what they think they like and don't like. Lawmakers heard from industries that want to offer legal sports gambling, the casino industry, the racetrack industry, where, you know, so it's 13 total, 13 locations, 10 casinos, 3 racetracks that want to be able to offer sports betting. And last week, proposals were offered. There are 4 different approaches to legalizing sports gambling were offered. All of them are very different. So stakeholders, just lawmakers wanted to hear from these stakeholders about what they liked. One very interesting group of people who came to testify are the professional sports leagues. They want what's called an integrity fee, a tax that they would be able to get from the bet. So 25 cents for every $100 bet. So far, this hasn't happened in any other state that currently allows legal sports betting. But they want to change that, at least, you know, for every state that comes up with some legislation, they'll be there to testify. Some groups, like those who represent the horsemen, they say that, you know, they want that extra money that would probably go to the sports leagues to go to them. You know, they're the ones who represent the labor side of racetracks, the blacksmiths, the veterinarians, the trainers. And they say that, the money that comes from a legal sports betting system would benefit everyone who runs behind the scenes at a racetrack.
And I've seen budget estimates on this, the money that it could bring in to be, what, $150 million, $200 million, some people talk about. So you're really you're not dealing with a huge pool of money by state government standards. If you start dividing it up among different folks, there may not be much left for the state of Illinois, you know, to use for different purposes it might want to use.
So the system, it all depends on how the structure is set up. Right now, Governor Pritzker is counting on $200 million that is just coming from the licensing fees. So in his proposal, he says, you know, let's give out 10 licenses at $10 million each, or 20 licenses at $10 million each, and see where we can go from that. But it depends. So it depends what structure is set up. It could be more licenses, more money, less, more taxes on the wagers, and things like that.
And just to clarify on this, because I think a lot of people are unfamiliar with what the proposal could be in the end. And that is, you would go someplace to place these bets. It wouldn't be as though I can go on my phone and do it.
That is one option. Other states have it where you can only do it in person. You have to be at the casino, for example, to do it. Others want it so that you can also bet from home, because it would make, you know, if you only offer it for an in-person bet, it would, you know, put people back in the black market, because it's going on now, and they just want to be more inclusive to get people out of that market. So if, you know, mobile devices, so that would require another system to be set up where you would have to be able to hire a third party to come in and make sure that you're not betting outside of state lines, for example. So it's a little bit complicated in terms, sure, because everybody wants kind of like what they want to see, and just kind of at the end, putting that in place, in person, a combination, what have you.
Charlie, when we hear gambling legislation, we always think of what used to be called the Christmas tree legislation. Everybody gets in at the same time. They throw a lot of different things in. And it used to be the term was, it sinks under its own weight. It sounds as though we could be heading towards something similar that could actually derail this session if, unless somebody can step in and appease everyone.
That's true. I get the impression, though, the people who are interested in doing the sports betting are trying to keep it separate from the whole issue about should we have additional casinos, should we have more slots available on casinos, you know, increase the number of gaming positions at the existing 10 places, should we have slots at racetracks. All of that argument that's been going on, gosh, for decades and has sunk all the previous plans. I think the people who are pushing for sports betting, including Pritzker's folks, realize that we don't want to get all the other stuff involved because it probably will sink. There's no way to satisfy. And listening to Daisy explain this, it just struck me as, what are the odds that the legislature is going to say to the professional sports, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, oh, yeah, we want to share some of the money because you guys are really struggling, as opposed to telling the horsemen, yeah, we're going to give you a cut because we realize that this is an important industry, not just at the tracks, but in rural Illinois where these where the food is grown, where the horses are bred and raised. So that part, I think, is not going to be part of the package. But in my mind, whether or not it's going to succeed is going to depend pretty much on whether they can get everything else out of the deal and get people focusing just on sports betting. How are we going to handle it? Where's it going to be available? And who's going to be in charge?
Brian, this is just one part of the overall budget discussion, and I know Democrats and Republicans are both going at it right now with some different ideas on what needs to happen long-term on the budget, including with a possible graduated income tax down the road. So can fill us in on what's taking place there.
Yeah, and I just briefly on before I get to that, what Charlie had said about and Daisy about the, you know, the Governor Pritzker not wanting this to become bogged down in sort of the Christmas tree approach. I think that's the phrase he used during his budget address. I mean, that is just, as Daisy has reported this week, that is a fact of trying to do gambling legislation. These groups have influence because they have money and there are a lot of jobs at stake, and so you can sort of wish that to not be the case, but whether you can actually make that a reality is a much bigger question. But Sean, as you said, yeah, looking at other issues on the budget, we had a lot of testimony this week. The state agency directors are still going before various legislative committees. The Attorney General testified this week. The Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court was testifying. Department of Corrections, Department of Children and Family Services. They go. Sometimes they get tough questioning because legislators like to use these opportunities. They don't often get the agency heads sitting before them with their hands out. And so they take the opportunity to ask some tough questions. But we also are seeing just a lot of, I guess I would call it posturing on taxes this week. The Senate Republicans held a news conference where they want to change the Illinois Constitution to require a two-thirds vote for tax increases. This is something that, you know, Democrats were pretty quick to say, you know what, we had a vote last fall and people elected supermajority Democrats in the, you know, Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate. We don't need to change this again. And Democrats also say, look, it's really hard to raise taxes. We've only done it twice in the last 25 years or so. And then Democrats held their own counter news conference just basically to sort of reiterate what Governor Pritzker has been saying. His talking point is his graduated income tax plan, he thinks, is the best option because if you don't do that, it's either going to take significant deep cuts in state government or potentially an across the board tax increase on the current flat tax, which Governor Pritzker has, you know, at least on the rates that he's put out as part of his platform, it would deliver a tax cut for pretty much everyone making below $250,000 and a tax increase gradually above that point and then pretty significantly once you cross the $1 million in income threshold. And so, you know, he's saying the alternative is either we cut programs or we do an across-the-board tax increase, which is going to hit those low- and middle-income people in a way that he says his plan will not.
And Charlie, we're talking about this graduated tax, which again is the earliest it could take effect might be still a couple of years from now. We've gone through that whole process before, but it's getting a lot of attention right now. There seems to be some discussion that it might even come up for a vote in the legislature to get it ready for the 2020 ballot. That could happen, that vote, maybe as early as this spring. So we're going to continue to hear a lot of this, as Brian mentioned, posturing.
Yeah, and it's going to go on. In my own mind, I was surprised when they said they want to do it this spring because historically, I don't believe there's ever been a constitutional amendment proposal that cleared the legislature in the spring of the odd-numbered year because the soonest that voters could weigh in on it would be November of the even-numbered year. And typically, the months of April and May are when the in the even-numbered year is when the legislature starts paying attention to constitutional amendments. But I think the governor is trying to get this out there. And as I say, I don't know what the rationale is for trying to do it this quickly, but it certainly has ginned up both sides. And probably the best argument that the antis have is you can't trust the Democrats, because when they're trying to talk about how it's not fair to the millionaires, I'm not sure how many Illinoisans feel in their hearts, oh, gosh, that poor millionaire. My guess is not a whole lot. But if you can play on this Madigan's the devil stuff, oh, you can't trust them. If you put in the graduated income tax, who knows what will happen.
But there has been certainly a history of Illinois not spending its money wisely or doing the right thing with its money, so that may work.
But see, and in my mind, I'm not sure that you can answer the question of how do we fund government by saying we just have to cut out waste, fraud, and abuse, which is the standard line. And as I said many times in many venues, the cynical view of what constitutes waste, fraud, and abuse is any government program that doesn't benefit me personally. But in the real world, that's not accurate. I would have a greater confidence in the credibility of the anti-position if they would say, yes, we need to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, and here are these six areas where we can do it. Get into specifics, not, oh, we have to be more efficient. What does that mean?
Okay. Time now for our notes from the field. Daisy?
Yes. Governor J.B. Pritzker this week named the next head of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. He is from a south suburban area of Olympia Fields, and he will be the 15th person to lead the Child Welfare Agency since 2003, and he is going to carry with the scrutiny after recent deaths of children and some controversy with the department.
Including another death this week we heard about. Brian?
Yeah, there was an audit this week, and I'm just going to read the lead from our friend John O'Connor at the Associated Press. Said that an audit released Wednesday found that a plan to save $500 million a year on a state employee health insurance was so ill-conceived and poorly executed that it's costing taxpayers $10 million extra annually without delivering the service promised. This was something that the Rauner administration introduced as a money-saving measure, and it just has not panned out that way.
Charlie?
Well, the Paul Simon Institute came out with a poll this week where they asked Illinois residents, what support would you have for various alternatives for new revenues? And maybe not surprisingly, support for graduated income tax was roughly 2-1, people favoring it. And when even higher, it went up to 71% when you asked, should it be just on incomes over $1 million? The least popular alternative, according to the poll, was retirement income. And only roughly 1 out of 4 people favored the notion of making retirement income subject to the Illinois income tax law.
That's it for State Week. This week, our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Daisy Contreras, and Brian Mackey. You can get a podcast of our show at nprillinois.org. Production assistance for the program provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.